One game week to go, the final FPL deadline ahead of the World Cup. So which players should we punt on? We work out wild cards for those late pressers. And just where is Jules? Hello, the time is here. The final FPL pod game week preview before the World Cup, which of course brings with it the excitement of unlimited transfers. So it's a very warm welcome, as always, to Sam Bonfield. But Sam, I think Jules might have got a bit too excited too early. Has he already gone to the World Cup? Because he's not here this morning.
Goodness knows where he is, Kelly. Somewhere on the way to Qatar, I imagine. All excited. Probably planning to get there before the England squad.
Yes, or the French squad. Whatever happens, Jules hopefully will be joining us at some point during this podcast. We are in fact told that he is caught in traffic at the moment, but it's a good job. Our third guest for the day is here on time. It's the former Premier League striker, Glenn Murray. Glenn, firstly, I imagine when you were late for training, there was a fining system, there was something. What can we do for Jules this morning when he does eventually turn up?
Kelly, I think that the minimum fine for Jules has to be a 12-point FPL deduction.
Yes, please.
Without any doubt. And I don't think that's even negotiable.
No, okay. Well, I'll have a word with the powers that be. I'm not sure I can get that one through. And to be honest, I'm not sure Jules is going to be too impressed because he isn't having the best season. I can say that because he's not here right now. How about you, Glenn? How's your season been going?
Well, I was a little bit worried coming on the podcast because I was obviously lined up with experts, yourself, Kelly, Jules, who's not here, and Sam, and you're all just in front of me, Sam. I'm quietly happy, actually. Obviously, I do need a few tips, but I don't know who to take the tips off, to be honest.
Glenn, honestly, I'm having an absolute shocker of a season this year. Every single decision I make seems to just go wrong. I said last week, didn't I, Kelly, I'm going to sell Zaha this week, which means every other FPL manager in the country should hold him. Of course, what does he do? Zaha absolutely brung it for everyone else. And I was gutted when he got a goal and an assist. At least I brought in Almiron, who did score. But my goodness, everything feels like it's going wrong for me right now. Even that Cancelo red card, that hurt as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, Glenn, I looked at your team and you didn't have Joao Cancelo. It's a shame Jules isn't here because he would have... Actually, Sam, it's probably a good thing for us that he isn't here because I think he would have been
bragging.
Oh my
goodness, so good.
Glenn, Jules has this whole thing about not having Cancelo in his team because he wears number 7. He doesn't think it looks right. He's missed out on a few hauls this season, but I also noticed that you don't have him in your team either.
No, do you know what? I haven't got him, but I think he's going to go back in this week. I think I'm going to put him in for Cucurella.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that does make a lot of sense. But Sam, that's interesting, isn't it? Because a lot of managers did sell him. In fact, over 190,000 managers parted company with him, probably thinking that he was going to be suspended. But of course, he served that suspension in the League Cup in midweek. Are those managers going to be regretting that going into this weekend?
Yeah, I think they might be, Kelly. I think it was one of those rage transfers, isn't it? When you see a player pick up a red card, you automatically go, oh my goodness, the toys go out of the pram and you think, oh, I really need to sell them now. But actually, if you just stop for a minute and think, it's one of the good things about waiting on your transfers is there was League Cup matches. He served his suspension. And because it wasn't violent conduct, it was just the one match suspension. That means he's available again for game week 16. And it is a nice game week 16 fixture where you're probably going to want your three Man City players. And if you don't have one, then I think Cancelo, having already, you know, done all the negative stuff with the red card, he is due an FPL haul and his attacking threat is so great that I think in game week 16, he'll be a good one to own and managers who've sold him probably will regret it.
Yeah, we do need to talk about Man City a little bit more. We'll do that in just a moment. Before we move on from that game, we've got to have a word, haven't we, for Andreas Pereira. Almost 2 million other managers alongside me benched him for a trip. To the Etihad, that 73.7% of his managers didn't back him to get anything. I feel like we should do a public apology because Glenn, he's been exceptional value, hasn't he, at his price point. I know he's cheap and often we're inclined to bench players that are that cheap, but he's kind of putting his hand up to say, guys, you've got to start me regardless now, isn't he?
Yeah, without doubt. He's having a fantastic season. He's got a brilliant partnership with Mitrovic. He seems to be able to find him and obviously he's getting in among the goals as well. But it's all about loyalty this game, Kelly. And unfortunately, you just guys aren't loyal.
I kept him. He's just on my bench. I think sometimes, you know, you play the fixtures. And actually, maybe this is a good point this season is that in seasons gone by, we've always kind of played the fixtures and we bench players when they've got difficult games. But this season, it really does feel like it's about the form of players. And when they're in good form, you play them regardless of what the fixture is. And, you know, Man City haven't kept that many clean sheets. So maybe we should have foreseen that Andreas Pereira could get something out of that one. just a frustrating one, and I'll publicly apologise and I won't bench Pereira again.
Until the next time he plays a big team.
Until the next time.
It is so tempting, isn't it? But yeah, the amount of points that he's cost me on my bench this season as well. But at least we're not the only one. So if that was you listening, do not worry. Many, many other managers did that as well. Okay, let's get it out of the way. Let's discuss Pep Roulette. It feels like it's well and truly back. Glenn, how do you feel? You're shaking your head at me. How do you feel every time at 2 p.m. or 11:30, whatever, an hour before kickoff, when you're waiting for that Man City team sheet? It's tough, isn't it? It's painful. It's hard not knowing who's going to be in that starting lineup. Is Phil Foden? Is Erling Haaland at the moment? It seems to be no.
He is killing me at the moment. So I've got Foden and Haaland, and there was one weekend where I couldn't decide which one to captain, but I thought I've got to captain one of them and vice captain the other, and therefore I'll get past because one of them will definitely start. They were both on the bench. So he absolutely destroyed my weekend.
That's an interesting point, isn't it, Sam, actually, about captain and vice captaining? Because I nearly did that last week when we weren't sure about Haaland. I was going to vice captain Foden, and then I thought, but I don't know if he's going to start, so I just captain someone else from another team. That's probably something that maybe managers should take on board at the moment with this uncertainty.
Yeah, I think pre-COVID and all of the stop starts that we've had over the last couple of seasons, I was happy to captain and vice captain somebody from the same game. Since the disruption, the cancellations that we had last year, I've been very reluctant to use the captaincy and the vice captain armband in the same team, even in the same match. So I always have my captain's armband on someone and then pick somebody else reliable from another team. So I'd captained Haaland this weekend and I'd had my vice captain armband on Kane just to make sure that I had a player that I was certain was going to start.
What about Haaland and Foden then? We all own both of them, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So I feel like we can get through this together. They're not starting at the moment. Glenn, can you tell that I also played my wild card a few weeks ago and I bought in Phil Foden and he's got me a point off the bench every single week?
That's one thing I need to know about. Do I need to play my wild card now? Should I aim this question at Sam?
Have you still got it, Glenn?
Have you still got it?
Yes. Yes, you must play it this week, otherwise you'll lose it.
That's a really good point to managers as well, because a lot of people maybe won't know that that wild card that you got is for the first half of the season. And because of the unlimited transfers during the World Cup, the wild card has to be used this game week. Then, Glenn, you're going to get all those free transfers again while the players are out in Qatar. And then it will start again on Boxing Day. And that's when you get your second wild card, or kind of your third wild card of the season. So you're going to be making a lot of transfers over the next few weeks, I think.
Yes, I am. And Cancelo is definitely one that's going in. But I'm going to stay strong with Foden and Haaland as well.
Okay, you are going to stay strong. Sam, are you staying strong with both of those, particularly Foden? Because I know he's causing a lot of managers itchy feet at the moment.
Oh, honestly, the Foden thing is just, it's been infuriating. Because like you, Kelly, I bought him in when I played my wild card a few weeks ago. And I was like, right, brilliant. I'm going to have Haaland, I'm going to have Foden, and I'm going to have Cancelo. Like the holy trinity of FPL players from Man City. They are going to bring me in 100 points on their own every week. Since that moment, Haaland's got injured. Now, that's less painful because, of course, everyone pretty much has him now. But Foden, it's been a real frustration. Those points off the bench, it's really difficult because at the same time, of course, KDB has been absolute flames for them. So it's difficult to know what to do, isn't it? But in the previous weeks, we've kind of felt like it's possible that Foden was going to get benched because he's been playing in the Champions League and getting the starts there. He didn't get a start in the League Cup in midweek. So what does that mean for him? Well, I suspect, or maybe I hope, as an FPL owner of Foden, that that means he's going to get the start of the weekend. I kind of think that with Pep, we've been seeing a lot of rotation lately between the Premier League and the Champions League matches. And maybe now that Foden's not started for three in the Premier League and had a rest in the League Cup, hopefully that means a start in the league at the weekend.
If you were thinking about getting rid of him at that price point, what are the good options? Anyone got any suggestions that they can throw in? Because a lot of managers will potentially think, I don't want to risk it for this week. I want to go out on a high.
I've got one. It's Wilfred Zaha. Oh,
Glenn! I thought I was going to get a day off today without Jules being here, but no, Glenn has taken the mantle of trolling me.
It's an interesting point because he is around the same price point, isn't he, Sam? And he's back scoring points.
Yeah. I mean, and he's got a really nice fixture this weekend. And it was one of the things last week when I did sell him that I was kind of thinking he does have a really nice fixture in game week 16. He'd been terrible away from home this season, which is part of the reason that I sold him because it was those two away fixtures. But if you don't own Zaha and you don't want to get rid of, you know, Foden or you want to make a move, then he's not a bad option. There are a few, aren't there? Because you've got Almiron in there as well. There's a few other players in that kind of mid-price bracket. Like Saka, I think, looks great for this weekend if you don't have him. Of course, there's Martinelli if you can't quite afford Saka. There are a fair few in that kind of mid-price that you can go to in the midfield instead.
Yeah, also the beauty of this, Glenn, for you with your wild card as well, you can just go for 1 week punts because, of course, you only need to have this team for one game week and then you can make all of those unlimited transfers. Are there any players on your radar at the moment that you're looking at just for this one fixture this weekend?
Well, considering I only found out about the wild card about 2 minutes ago, not yet, but I'm going to spend all afternoon on my FPL doing my thing. That's my afternoon taken up now.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what, Sam, let's try and help Glenn out with a few suggestions, shall we, for this wild card. Who do you think are good 1 week punts for this game week?
Sorry, Kelly, Sam's helping me.
You are brutal today. You are brutal.
Brutal. He's taking the mantle from Jules. Come on,
get then. Up that overall rank history, Sam. Show him how good you are.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Like this season, it's FPL, right? It's a marathon. It's not a sprint, Glenn. So you might be close to me now, but let's see where we are by the end of the season.
Oh, the gauntlet has been thrown down.
I think this week is perfect for 1 week punts, like you say, Kelly. And if you're wildcarding, even better, because you can literally fill your team with players that have got great fixtures or that are in good form, players that have huge differential potential. And it's those differentials that can massively boost you up the overall rank. So this week, I'm looking at bringing in players that have really low ownership. You know, we saw Tavernier from Bournemouth last week was the highest scoring player in the game with 15 points. He was owned by just 0.2% of the game when he did that. Now, I'm not suggesting that for a second that anyone predicted that he was going to be the highest scoring player in the game last week. However, if you can get one of those decisions to work for you, it's going to massively help. Now, I'm looking at Kulusevski. Spurs goggles back on for a minute, maybe, but I am looking at Kulusevski from Spurs. He's owned by just like 3% of the game. So again, another massive differential. Came back from injury in game week 16, gets the assist for the Kane goal within 2 minutes of coming on the pitch. He's got 5 attacking returns in his 8 Premier League matches so far this season. So when he has been playing, the form has been good. We got half an hour out of him in the League Cup. So Conte's kind of given him those 2 sets of half an hour minutes to bed back in. I suspect that we might see him start in game week 16 at the weekend against Leeds because Spurs have got some real injury problems up top and I don't think Richarlison is going to be available to start in that one either. I think Kulusevski in that midfield kind of differential bracket could be just really nice as a 1 week punt.
Your verdict on Kulusevski, Glenn, you'll have watched quite a bit of Spurs this season, I'm sure as well. Bear in mind, if you want to continue your trolling of Sam, she's also a Spurs fan.
Well, I have watched a bit of Spurs this season and yes, my eyes have hurt a little bit.
Savage.
I really like Kulusevski and I think just from a football perspective, he is the one that Spurs have been missing the most. He is that link between defending and attacking and he definitely brings the best out in Kane. I was at the game on Sunday and I felt as though the whole dynamics of the team changed when he came on. So he is one that I will be introducing this weekend.
Sorry to bring it up, Sam. They did go out of the cup in midweek, of course, to Nottingham Forest.
Thanks,
I'm just saying it's been a bit of a difficult couple of weeks, but you're expecting a big performance from Spurs. Do they normally give you a reaction after disappointing weeks like this?
Yeah, it's been a difficult couple of days for being a Spurs fan, that's for sure. Like you, Glenn, I was at Spurs on the weekend and the game fundamentally changed when Royale came off and Kulusevski came on. He was lively. He was doing all that link-up play that's so important for the way that Spurs play. And obviously without Son, that becomes even more important because you need Kane to stay up front. I think the League Cup is what it is. Obviously, as a Spurs fan, I'm desperate to win a trophy. I wanted us to win that game. But when I looked at the team that he put out, it was a team that, you know, it gave a few players a rest. Again, it was missing those attacking players with the exception of Kane. So for me, I think the game and the weekend is what Conte is really targeting. We need to win that game going into this World Cup break. And I suspect that Kulusevski will have a massive part to play in that. And I'm thinking about doing the double up on Spurs attack for the weekend.
It's not like you, Sam, to go big on Spurs.
I know. Who knew? Who knew? I tell you what though, Kelly, someone else that really impressed me when I was at the game on Sunday was Nunez from Liverpool. Obviously got the assist against Spurs and it happened right in front of me. I thought he played really well actually. Now he was getting a lot of time and a lot of space down that Royale side. Southampton definitely in a difficult moment. All right, they've got a new manager now, but how quickly will he be able to have an impact going into the weekend's game? That remains to be seen. Liverpool will want to kind of, they'll want to go out on a high in their last home match before the World Cup. And I think they'll take a lot of heart from that result against Spurs and then the win in the League Cup in midweek as well. So keep an eye on Nunes. He's going to be a lot easier for managers to get to than the likes of Salah.
Yeah, Nunes was someone that I wanted to bring in on my wild card. But then, do you remember they had the early kickoff against Nottingham Forest?
Too.
I was going to have Nunes, and then those whispers started to come out that maybe he wasn't going to be fit. So I went for Salah. That said, a word on Salah, though. Came up with the goods last weekend, didn't he?
Yeah, he did indeed. He was looked back to his best, threatening goals. But I also agree with Sam with Nunes. I feel as though early on in his tenure, he was playing quite a lone role. He was quite selfish in his play. I think he was trying to get his shots off, which is, I suppose, good from an FPL point of view. But there's definitely a relationship building there between him and Salah. He assisted his first goal, and he was a constant threat to Spurs all afternoon. So I think Nunes might be another one for my wildcard weekend.
We're gradually building up this wildcard for you, aren't we? How many players have you got now?
Two.
Okay, there might still be some way to go. Let's discuss a few more teams then. A few other teams with new managers as well. Maybe you want to give them a little bit longer to kind of suss out what they're going to look like. But Aston Villa, Glenn, started life under Unai Emery pretty well, didn't they?
Yes, they started really well. They started with a bang, I think it's fair to say. But I did check out their fixtures and they're not the kindest coming up and into sort of into the Christmas area. So I was going to stay clear of Villa. I did look at them, but I didn't like what's ahead of them.
I think the thing for me, though, Glenn, is you only actually need them to work for 1 week, don't you, in this game week 16
True.
Match against Brighton, because then your unlimited transfers kick in. Like, I think there's potential there, particularly if you're playing your wild card. You almost got to treat your wild card like it's a free hit, because it's just for 1 week, and then you're going to be able to make as many changes as you like. So going in for a cheap player, somebody like Leon Bailey, who's got three returns in his last three at Villa, could be really nice, because they're taking on a Brighton side that, although they're defensively solid, they're not keeping in as many clean sheets.
There's a problem, Sam. They're playing Brighton.
That was my next question. That was my next question. What do you do with your former clubs, Glenn?
Well, the ones that are still in the Premier League, Kelly, I tend to like them. I tend to go for players that I know will get points. Like, so for instance, I've got Zaha in, and I've got Trossard in, and I've got Sanchez in from two of my old clubs. I've got no Bournemouth players in, but those three from Crystal Palace and Brighton I have got in, because I feel as though Robert Sanchez is really good. Like you say, Brighton have changed their manager, their style of play has changed a little bit. They may be shipping more goals, but as far as moving forward's concerned, Trossard I think has been brilliant this season.
He's
been absolutely awesome. I think he's been one of the gems of FPL. And then Zaha, he always delivers. He's the main man still at Crystal Palace. They may be trying to build plays around him in Eze and Elise, but that main man is still Wilfred Zaha for me.
Would you not think about swapping out Sanchez for a different goalkeeper this week? Just for this week, because I think after the World Cup, you'd probably bring him back in. But, you know, you could go with one of the big premium goalkeepers like Alisson maybe this week. Then you could have, I definitely would 100% keep Trossard. He's been fantastic. But then that would allow you to maybe have somebody like Leon Bailey on your bench just in case you need him. Because I do think that Villa might score this weekend.
Yeah, I would think about changing Sanchez. I've got Sanchez and Ward, so I can flip between both of them. But yeah, I think I probably will go with a marquee goalkeeper this weekend.
A marquee goalkeeper. That's what's exciting when you've got a wild card for just 1 week. You can kind of just go for those 1 week punts. What marquee goalkeeper are you thinking of? I'm intrigued.
Alisson against Southampton looks nice.
Yeah, Alisson does look nice, but also there's that new manager bounce, and Liverpool haven't been amazing, have they? I haven't got any Liverpool players in my team, actually, which is, I think, speaks volumes of their form this season. So I've steered clear of them. I'm going to have to check out the fixture list, I think, guys.
Yeah, get the fixtures up, have a look. Because when I look at the fixtures, Manchester City hosting Brentford is the standout from a goalkeeper. But a lot of managers who maybe are also playing this chip this week will have the same problem, won't they, Sam, of already being trebled up on Manchester City. Elsewhere, in terms of clean sheets, I agree with Sam in terms of Liverpool versus Southampton looks quite nice. Any other goalkeepers or fixtures that stand out from that point of view for you, Sam?
Lloris, maybe.
The problem I have with Lloris is that Spurs defensively, you just never really know what you're going to get with them. Like, they can be really, really solid, and then they can give goals away like they did to Liverpool at the weekend by just not defending properly. So I would worry that Lloris has got plenty of save points in him, that's for sure. So, but I don't necessarily think we'll keep a clean sheet at home to Leeds this weekend. When I look across the rest of the fixtures, I mean, Chelsea aren't scoring a lot of goals. So if you want to go for a Newcastle double up at the back with Pope and Trippier, maybe that's okay for 1 week. Wolves certainly aren't scoring a lot of goals at the moment, so you could go with Ramsdale from Arsenal. He looks like an okay pick for this weekend as well. But when I look across the rest of the kind of big clubs, you're right, it's Man City that we would expect to keep a clean sheet. It's probably Liverpool. And then the others aren't there. I mean, if you don't want to go marquee, you could go for your Bournemouth goalkeeper, Glenn, because Everton just aren't scoring any goals.
Yeah, and obviously Bournemouth dismantled them in the League Cup midweek 4-1. So, yeah, that is a possibility. But I might have to cancel Cancelo and put in Edison.
What do you think of that, Sam?
I mean, the point... So as you remember, Kelly, at the beginning of the season, I had... Oh, hang on.
Hold that thought.
There's somebody arrived. We can ask Jules what he thinks about Cancelo.
Hello, guys. Sorry.
I thought that Kelly was the star of this podcast, but it's obviously you, Jules.
Glenn, you can come back anytime, bro.
He turns up when he wants. Jules, we are recording. We've started without you. So welcome along. What's your excuse?
Thank you.
And then we're going to tell you what your fine is, your penalty for being late.
Hello, guys. I'm really sorry. The London tube strikes got me this morning and I was super late driving in. So, yeah.
Okay, well, the good news is that we've got an ex-footballer on the podcast this morning and he's decided, you know, like in footballer terms, if you're late for training,
hold
you get a
second,
fine.
Kelly,
Glenn's come up
Kelly,
with one for you.
Can you not introduce me an FPL expert now with our scores? Very similar.
Okay, former Premier League player Glenn Murray and now FPL expert gunning for Sam's job. Glenn, what is Jules' fine going to be?
I think the minimum fine, we've obviously spoke about this already in the podcast, Jules, when you weren't here, and I had to talk the girls down. They wanted to give you a 20-point deduction.
20?
I settled for a 12-point FPL deduction. I think that's fair, Jules.
Thank you, my friend. I knew I could rely on them. I don't trust them too anyway, so I'm glad you were here to bring a bit of sense, you know, on this show.
Kelly, I'm slightly worried what's going to happen now with these two together.
Yeah.
I know, I think we're in trouble here, aren't we? We're going to be ganged up on a little bit. Let's try and
Definitely.
Get through a little bit more. Jules, we've discussed Man City, we've discussed the Pep roulette. We were just discussing whether Glenn should look at Aston Villa because he's realised that he has still got his wild card to play, but he's very loyal to Brighton, so he doesn't want to put
Fair
in
enough.
Players that are going to play Brighton this weekend. So we were looking at a goalkeeper for him as well, because at the moment he has got Robert Sanchez in. Who would you suggest as a goalkeeper for this week, as a one-week pump?
Well, as a one-week pump, you know, my love for Aaron Ramsdale, of course, away at Wolves, and the Wolves haven't scored many this season. I know they scored, obviously, last week against Brighton, but overall, they haven't been very, very clinical, very efficient. They don't create much either. So I think Ramsdale could be a really good shout on Saturday evening as well, because the game is 7:45 kickoff here in the UK. So you can enjoy that late night game and watch Ramsdale take a lot of points. other than that, you know, I think there's a shot for maybe Gaeta, Crystal Palace against Forest. I know it's away from home, and Forest scored two goals against Spurs in midweek in the League Cup. However, I think that this Crystal Palace defence could do well away at Forest.
How long has he been on the podcast and he's already mentioned Spurs getting knocked out of the cup? So
of course he has. Why have we let him in? We should have just closed the door. If you're late, you're late.
Sam, did you see me waving at you on Sunday at Liverpool?
No.
Yes, Liverpool, no? I was trying to find you in...
She was hiding.
I probably had my head down thinking,
even, yeah.
Why have I come here?
No.
I had not left. I stayed till the end. You can't be a Spurs fan and leave when you're 2-0 down. Then that's standard behaviour.
Aaron Ramsdale's an interesting one because they're playing Wolves. Wolves in their final game before their new manager, Julian Lopetegui, comes in, Glenn. Do you think that will have any bearings? Will that cause Wolves to lift their performance at all? They did win in the Cup in midweek against Leeds, admittedly with a really changed team though.
Yes, they did. I think the worry for me with Wolves is that the last three games they've won have all been 1-0 at Molineux. So it's and the players, there will be an automatic bounce. They've got somebody to impress. They know who's going to be at the helm. So I think that Wolves will get a little bit better, but I still think they will be goal shy. Listen, this isn't a problem that's just really Ted. This has been ongoing for two seasons now, and it's not going to be sorted within a matter of days or weeks.
So keep away from Wolves. Is that something you're thinking as well, Sam, for now? They couldn't really have much of a trickier fixture this weekend, could they?
Yeah, I think for me with Wolves, given that the manager doesn't start until Monday, so won't be in the dugout at the weekend, there'll be a team that I'll be watching over the World Cup with the potential to invest after we come back. Because, I mean, it's the perfect time for for a manager to start, isn't it? He's going to have loads of time with the squad that he's got available, the ones that haven't travelled to the World Cup, where he can install his tactics without having to worry about matches and results. They can literally just focus in on learning his style of play. So Wolves, for me, one to watch when we come back from the World Cup.
Okay, well, let's go back to our 1 week punts then, and let's continue to help Glenn build this wild card, because I think at the last time we checked, we only had two players. Are we still on two, Glenn? Have we added any more?
Well, do you know what? I've made a decision, a conscious decision, while you guys have been talking. I'm not going to put Foden in, and I'm going to put Cancelo and Edison in. I'm doubling up on City defenders. So now I've got Kulusevski, Nunes, Edison, Cancelo and Haaland.
Pretty good. Do you know the rule about Cancelo and his number seven, yeah?
Oh, here we go.
I'm just... I just...
They've filled me that you're a hate for Cancelo. They've told me all about it. But listen, he's guaranteed points, Jules.
That's
what can
true,
I do?
That's true, my friend. I know.
I bet you loved it at the weekend, Jules, didn't you?
I was so chuffed.
I bet you were sat there like, yeah.
That's a number seven foul as well, you know, in the box. Number seven should not defend because they're not defenders, really. They're wingers.
Okay, well, I'm glad we got that one out of the way. I thought by him joining late, maybe we wouldn't get to hear that rant, but of course we did.
No chance.
Any other players, 1 week punts for this week, Jules, that Glenn could maybe put in his team?
I think now the Wilfried Zaha discussion, Glenn, is very important here because when Sam owns him, he doesn't perform. He knows it. There's something about Sam owning him that he doesn't...
Can we boot him off, please?
And it's just like he's guaranteed to score for you and assist now that Sam has sold him on last week.
It is true.
It is true. Like he had at the weekend. Great game. I mean, I almost texted you, Sam. But
I was waiting for it.
It was too much of a tough weekend for you with Spurs against Liverpool and Wilfried Zaha as well, doing what he did. So, no, I like Zaha. I think again, Forest aware, Forest will attack, especially on the back of their win against Spurs in midweek in the League Cup. So I think this would be good for Crystal Palace. He would play into their hands. And I think Zaha is going through like a good time, really. So I would put Zaha in the team.
I do like Martinelli and White for Arsenal.
Yeah.
I like White right back because he's getting forward much more, creating opportunities. And Martinelli, he's been in since the start and I feel loyal to him now. And he's going to burst into Molineux because he's in the Brazilian squad.
I agree. That's a huge boost for him. But I think Wolves is typically the team that can put a plan against Martinelli, against Saka defensively, that kind of stuff. I still think that you're right. He's Martinelli, for his price as well, is a must-have in your wildcard team.
Okay, so we've got a fair few players there, Glenn, but Sam does always come prepared, contrary to what you're saying about her FPL credentials. She's got quite the good backlog in terms of history of achievements in this game, and she has prepared what she would do if she was wildcarding. So this might help you.
Okay, so if I was wildcarding, I like you. I agree, Glenn, about, you know, the marquee goalkeeper. So I'd have Alisson. I think he's got the most chance of a clean sheet this weekend. And back up, I'd have Danny Ward. You just can't overlook Danny Ward, can you? He's been phenomenal in the last few weeks. And then I play a back three of Cancelo, Trippier and Saliba. All three of them have nice attacking returns. If you can't afford Saliba because you're, you know, saving budget, then I like your Ben White suggestion too, with Nico Williams and Patterson on the bench because you need some cheap options. A midfield four, I'd have Almiron, Foden, Saka and Kulusevski. Nice little punt on Kulusevski bringing in some well-deserved points on the back of, you know, coming back from injury, with Leon Bailey on the bench there too for Villa. Sorry about that against Brighton, but I do think he might get something this weekend. 3-3 now. And then a front three of Haaland, Nunes and Kane. I do like the look of Nunes against Southampton this weekend.
I tell you what, I've never seen someone ferociously write down notes as much as Glenn Murray did just then.
No, Kelly, do you know what it was? I was actually doodling because I just lost interest. No, I was writing down.
I think there's some really nice picks for this weekend.
But can I ask Sam a question, please? Sam, I had a real issue earlier on in the season because I did a stroke of genius with my captain on game week 9 and I put Maddison in, got 36 points. But then the next 3 weeks, unfortunately, I forgot and missed the deadline to change my captain. And he scored in game weeks 10, 11 and 12. He scored a total of 6 points as my captain.
Ouch.
So who should I captain?
I mean, I'm going to captain Haaland this weekend. I think, you know, he's had a rest now in the middle of the week. He came on and scored at the weekend. I cannot see any way that he doesn't start him at the weekend. Surely he starts. The only thing I don't like about Haaland, and Jules and Kelly know this, is I hate captaining someone in the 12:30 game. on a Saturday, because if they don't do well, my whole weekend is ruined. The mood, I am in such a strop. And I just dread it happening this time, because is my mood thing going to be like this over the whole of the World Cup until we have the next FPL game week? Because I'm not sure I could take that. I think Haaland is a nice captain. I think Kane is a nice captain option for this weekend too. I think Nunes is a good captain option for this weekend as well. And there's a fair few, I think, but those three forwards, I think, are all gunning to have the armband given to them this time.
Brilliant. I'll stick with Haaland then, with about 3 million other people.
Jules, have you got any feedback from Sam's suggestions there? Anyone else that you would throw into the mix?
No, I think he's great. I think you can look at Martinelli, as mentioned before, at Trossard as well, of course. I mean, we can give Glenn all the advice, all the names, as long as he remembers to play, obviously, the wild card and press the button, and not like he did in a few weeks.
Ouch, Jules, that hurts.
In terms of captain, the only thing... Last weekend, I changed again from Haaland to Kane like 1,000 times, and then Kane got more points.
What did you go with in the end?
Haaland. I still got more points than you, don't worry. But yeah, I was a bit gutted in the end. However, this time, I just think Leeds give you so many chances because they just play so open football and attacking football and so much intensity with Kulusevski back, surely, for Spurs starting after their defeat again in midweek, after what happened to Liverpool. I think Spurs can be in to score quite a lot and to create a lot of chances for Kane this time. So I'd be tempted to captain Kane ahead of Haaland, but again, it's one that will go back and forth for like a long, long time before I actually make a decision. That would be the wrong decision, of course. So, you know.
Okay, so Glenn, how is that wildcard team looking now? What have you got to?
It's looking star-studded. Kelly, it's looking
I hope you can afford all
strong,
of these players.
I know, because it's like...
This is my next problem. I've got to start doing my maths. it looks good. I'm going to stick with Trossard. Zaha's in there. Martinelli, I'm going to stay loyal to him because he's been in since the start. I'm going to get Kulusevski back in because we've seen him reintroduced over this past week. I think I'll stick with Edison over Alisson. But so far, it's looking really strong.
Okay, good. Well, I'm glad that coming on this podcast has been beneficial for you as well.
Kelly, I don't view this as a podcast. It's more of a helpline for me.
It's like a surgery, FPL surgery.
Make your mind up. Earlier, you were the expert. Now you're coming on to get all of our advice. You've got to decide which way you're sitting here.
Well, no, I was 100% all week coming on for your help and your advice. And like I say, I was treating it as a surgery. But then I found out how many points you guys have got. And then I was like, actually, I'm not as bad as I thought I was.
We're a service. We're just here to help others.
Yeah.
And that's the good thing, Glenn, right? Is it's really tight everywhere at the moment. So you get a differential to bang this week, you're going to fly up the overall rank. So if you've got someone in like Kulusevski, who's got really low ownership, and he gets a goal and an assist this weekend, you will be laughing.
Yes, yes. That's the plan, sir.
And then you can thank the podcast and give us a shout out, because it will have all been because of our help, of course. Now, of course, we've been discussing the fact that this is the final game week before the World Cup, and the Premier League have announced that FPL player prices will be frozen at the end of the day on Saturday, the 12th of November, until the deadline for game week 17, which is quite literally weeks away. That means that over the World Cup, managers won't need to worry about any of the prices of their FPL assets. But there will be a 13-hour window on Saturday where the unlimited window is open and prices can rise and can fall. So that's from the deadline on Saturday until Saturday night, a player's price could go up or could go down. How do we navigate this period, Sam?
I mean, I think for me, there's two ways of looking at it. You either choose to go, right, I'm not going to do anything and I'm going to wait until over the unlimited transfer window. I'm going to watch how the World Cup pans out and then I'm going to make my decision from there. Or you do what I'm going to do, and that is have a list going into game week 16 of all the players that you think you're going to want for game week 17. So the ones that have got really nice fixtures, the ones that have been in good form, and you bring those guys in straight away, because then if, like other managers, you're kind of on the same wavelength and they go up in price, you can benefit from that price rise and not have to pay that extra 0.1 or lose 0.1 in a player that you know you definitely don't want to have after the World Cup. So that's the way I'm going to play it. I'm going to make some transfers on Saturday afternoon and then I'm going to leave my team until the World Cup starts. And then as soon as those World Cup games kick in, guaranteed I'll be sitting there tweaking my team, making changes left, right and centre based upon what I'm seeing from the World Cup.
Jules, have you got the plans in motion already for what you're going to be doing over the World Cup period?
I like Sam's plan.
I know you're going to Qatar for the World Cup, FYI. I know you're going to be out there. I kind of more meant with your FPL team.
I think you and I in Qatar, we will be focus a lot on the World Cup and also already thinking about the fantasy team. I think Sam's plan is the best one. Yeah, of course you can do nothing for now. This is, and it's not a bad thing, and you will still be okay. You can make your transfers later, watch what happened at the World Cup, and we hope no injuries and nothing like that. And then you can decide later on if you want. But I think Sam's plan is good. You can prepare a little bit before, have already a few names in your head to move in quickly. And then for the rest, just take your time and everything. It's just, we kind of know who could rise, to be fair, and what, you know, what players could have his price going up in that 13-hour window. So if you can get ready and prepared, again, I'm not sure Glenn is amongst those people, but if you do are organized, then I think this is a good idea.
Are you talking about FPL or just my life in general, Jules?
So, I mean, I need to tell the listeners, Glenn and I were together at the Emirates. I can't even remember what game it was. And we went to get a drink together. And yes. We were talking, and Glenn said, I have to say, Jules, I missed the deadline this week. And I was like, Glenn, no, you can't do that.
That was one of my baddest weeks.
Man, it was so funny.
So after listening to you guys, I think I'm going to go for the more relaxed approach. Probably some would call it amateurish. And I'm going to wait and see which countries exit the World Cup first and which players are going to get a two-week warm weather break ready to attack the cold January in England.
You joke about that, Glenn, but that was actually going to be my next question. Good. As players, a lot of these players are going to get big rests, and big players in the Premier League aren't going to the World Cup. So should we be looking at them for the fixtures immediately around the Christmas period?
I personally think so, yeah. Like Haaland's, he's a SERP for me. He's staying in, he's gonna go away, he's gonna sit in a sun lounge for 2 weeks, he's gonna get rid of all of his aches and pains, not that he's got any because he's a machine, but then he's going to attack January. And I personally think that players, it's a really strange season both for the Premier League and for FPL, because you've got a massive break in the middle, so it's almost two different seasons. So you're going to see, I'm sure, Liverpool's form completely change in the second half of the season. So for me, yeah, I'm going to wait and see which players get better rest and which are more prepared to go into the second half of the season.
Talking about Liverpool, like Salah, obviously not going to the World Cup, great investment, yeah, but I'm also going to be keeping a very, very, very close eye on players like Jota and Luis Diaz and their recovery from injury, because they've now got a four-week period where they can really rest, recuperate, build up their fitness again, training with Klopp and that Liverpool team, because a lot of them aren't going to the World Cup. You know, Bobby Firmino not travelling with Brazil. They could have a really nice rest period and go into this second part of the season in great form. And they ride right up at the top of the fixture ticker alongside teams like Southampton and West Ham. So for the first 5 weeks after that World Cup, Liverpool look brilliant to invest in.
Yeah, they do actually, don't they? They've got some really nice options. Well, we're coming to the end of the podcast. We know what transfers Glenn is making. He's making multiple, still sorting that wild card. Still, I can just see him pondering, looking at that notepad, kind of his hand on his chin as he makes those final selections. Good luck with that, Glenn, because I think that might take you quite a bit of time.
Yeah, it will, but your help has been kindly accepted.
That's nice to hear. Jules, what are you planning on doing with your team? We didn't even get a chance to talk about how your last game week went, so you can fill the listeners in.
Yeah, it went good. Thank you very much. 67 points. I had Andreas Pereira on the bench with 6 points that, you know, could have made a difference, I guess. But yeah, I mean, Zaha, I mentioned it earlier, Haaland, Kane, Madison, Trippier, all of them returning really well. So it was a good week, a lot of green arrows, which is good. In terms of transfers, I've got one free transfer. The thing is that I like the team, and I think the team is well suited for this game week. Callum Wilson is still a doubt because of the illness, but I think by now he should be okay to play. It's a tough game against Chelsea, of course, but the momentum that Newcastle have, I fancy keeping him with Haaland and Kane up front, the three. And then behind that, I think Foden will start. Didn't play, obviously, in midweek in the League Cup. So I think he will finally start, because since I brought him in, he's never started, I think, which I was really gutted about. So I'm hoping that Foden starts. And then, yeah, it's a good team. So I don't think I will use that free transfer.
Interesting, even though you'll lose that free transfer.
I know.
During the World
I'm debating
it. You can't bank it.
But yeah, no, I'm very happy with where the team is at the moment.
That we can lessen his fine, and that can be his fine. No transfers allowed.
But he doesn't seem to want the transfer either. Imagine, Sam, being in a position where you don't want your transfer.
I mean, ridiculous is to say, Kelly, I look at my team and think, I've got two, and I could just make one. I've got Dallow. You've got Dallow, right? Jules, yes, yes. Suspended for this week because he picked up his fifth yellow. So I was going to play him this week. He was in my starting 11. So I am now thinking about making a defensive change as part of my transfers this time around. I am pondering on going for Perisic at Spurs, but I don't see the clean sheet sticking. So I would be getting him in just on the basis of some attacking returns. But against that lead side, I think we could get some attacking returns from Perisic. So he might be a 1 week punt for me because he wouldn't be a player that I would hold longer term. And then I look at the rest of my team and think, and again, I've sort of learnt my lesson from last week with Zaha. The rest of my outfield players look really quite nice, and I'm not sure I really want to sell any of them. Gabriel Jesus is maybe the one that I am thinking about swapping for Nunes, simply because I've got Saka and Martinelli in the middle already for Arsenal. So the three-way attack hasn't been brilliant for me so far since I've had them. So maybe I might use my second transfer to take a bit of a punt on Nunes up top this week. But Dallow to Perisic, probably. I'd like to get Kulusevski, but I don't know who I'd sell in those midfielder spots.
Okay, finally, captaincy. Are we all going for Haaland? Jules has just said then he thinks he's going to start. Glenn, is that who you'll give your armband to?
Yes, it is who I'll give my armband to. But do you know what, Kelly? I am actually expecting to go into the World Cup break with my star-studded wildcard above both Jules and Sam, because I'm only 21 and 25 points behind them. So that's my aim this weekend.
Are you coming for me as well?
Kelly, you know you're just a little bit too far away.
Because she started when?
Yeah, you've got 60 points on me, Kelly. But like Sam said, it's a marathon, not a sprint.
It is, and it can change so quickly. Only 3 game weeks ago, I was around 250,000 in the world. I'm around 495 now. So fortunes can go either way very quickly. Good luck with that wildcard, Glenn. I'm quite envious of some of the players you've got in your team. What are you going to be doing during the World Cup break? Are you working on any of the coverage anywhere?
No, I'm going to sit down on the sofa and I'm going to take as much football in as I possibly can. Thinking about FPL, obviously.
And also, don't forget, unlimited transfers during the World Cup, so you can make as many transfers as you want.
Yeah, no, I'm going to park FPL for 3 weeks and I'll revisit it, like I said, a relaxed approach.
Oh. Okay, well, it's not done too bad for you so far if you're not that far behind us, to be honest. Thank you, as always, for coming on the podcast. Jules, it was short and sweet, but good to have you.
Thank you. Sorry again for being so late.
Don't be silly. You're not going to be the only person, I think, affected by those tube strikes today. Sam, thank you for holding the fort and, of course, for that brilliant wildcard team.
Oh, let's see how it pays off next week. I bet you that wildcard team gets more points than my actual team this weekend.
Also, tell the listeners, we've got quite an exciting schedule in terms of podcasts, because of course things will change a little bit during the break.
Absolutely, yeah. So next week, Off the Bench will be back as normal, but we'll also be back for an early podcast next week, talking about the unlimited transfer window, looking at the teams that we should be targeting, looking at the fixtures that they have coming up after the World Cup, and how you should use the unlimited transfer to your advantage over the next few weeks.
So hopefully plenty more tips for you guys to come. Well, thank you to everyone who has listened today as well. Do not forget that even when the World Cup is on, contrary to what Glenn has said, FPL never sleeps. So we'll be back with those podcasts for you next week. Your deadline this week, though, is 11 a.m. on Saturday. Jules, what time is it?
11 on Saturday.
Glenn?
11 a.m. Saturday.
And I know I don't need to ask Sam. Good luck for this game week, everyone, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.